The following professionals have asked the question that I will be putting to the top management in the next few minutes. From Credit Suisse, we welcome Mark Freshney, and we say see you soon to Stefano Bezzato, who moved recently to the buy side. Next is Alberto Gandolfi from Goldman Sachs, Arthur Sitbon from Morgan Stanley. From Jefferies, Ahmed Farman, Mediobanca, Javier Suárez, Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada, Deutsche Bank, James Brand, José Javier Ruiz, Barclays, JB Capital Markets, Jorge Guimarães, and finally, from Alantra, Fernando Lafuente. The first question is regarding the guidance, and the question is, full year 2022 guidance includes any impact of Spanish 1.2% tax on revenues?
The answer is yes. I think the main factors in our outlook is in renewables. I mentioned we will have 2,500 new MW installed. We expect normalization of load factors. We have production already sold, as I mentioned as well, close with prices close to 70 euros/MWh wholesale price. In networks, we have planned to invest, as I mentioned as well, 4.6 billion in 12 months. We have positive impact on FX and operating results, especially in Brazil, United States. I think that is the main reason. I think we are not already. We are focused in networks. We are not speculative trading, so we are not already affected by collaterals or similar. We have high liquidity. We have a fixed rate debt, as I mentioned as well. That is the reason why we are maintaining that one. That's why we are already proposing the board this increase in dividend of 0.18, which is almost 6% increase to our previous year. I think this is already included, yes.
Next is, given the spike on interest rate, do you think that the company has to reconsider its financial structure?
Well, Pepe, perhaps you can already maintain that one. I think when the things goes well, have to be maintained. Nevertheless, Pepe, you can already explain why we have to maintain that one in more detail.
No, I think that actually I agree completely what the chairman says. I mean, up to now it has worked quite well, and obviously we are going to maintain this financial structure. That doesn't mean that we can move a little bit more fixed floating depending on how we see the future of interest rates. I think we've had this strategy for the last year, and right now this protects the balance sheet in cases of high rises of interest rates that we have, as we are seeing right now.
Third question says, why did you promote Armando Martínez from business CEO to CEO position? Is this the beginning of a succession plan?
Well, I think it's disappointment is a sign of continuity, so I think it's nothing new. I think it was planned a long time ago. I think in his new position, he will continue to lead the group business, and I'm sure he will do as well as he has been doing the recent years. I think it's a continuity, it's not a revolution. What we would like is something we was already planned, and we see the opportunity of making precisely in this particular moment. But this is not. It was something that was already planned for a long time ago.
This question is regarding to debt. What are your expectation of cost of debt for the next years compared to nine months 2022? Do you reiterate your net debt guidance of 44 billion by the end of 2022?
Pepe?
Well, in the next years, we will tell you for the in the Capital Markets Day. What I can tell you is that the cost of debt will be more or less similar to the September level, no? In that sense, there are not going to be many changes on that. Yes, we reiterate the guidance. I mean, 44-45 billion by the end of 2022 is where we are expecting to close.
Fifth question is, you show a slide with a decline in bad debt. How concerned are you about increases in the future, and what are you seeing in the previous cycles?
So I think, as I mentioned, we are taking measures not only to improve our position, but also to help our customers in a very complex situation, as I mentioned already during my presentation. I think examples are, for instance, we are providing payment flexibility for those with difficulties in payment. So, but I think, Pepe, perhaps you can already give further detail of all these things.
Yes, well, this is what we showed. It is true that, right now we are being able to maintain, the ratios under control. We have to be prudent because, obviously, this is something that we are monitoring. But right now, as you can see, we have seen a 12% decrease in the bad debt over provisions. Provisions over billing and the overdue debt 11% decrease over billing. But as I was mentioning, as the chairman has mentioned, we are going to be very, very vigilant on these ratios to make sure that we are maintaining them under control.
European scenario. Next, can you please give us your latest views on the European debate on how to reform the energy system? I'm interested in Iberdrola views on 1. Effectiveness of a price cap for gas prices. 2. View on how to finance that price cap. And 3. Proposal for the full reform of the system, since marginal system does not work any longer.
So, well, I think I'm quite pleased that after several months talking about many things, the most of head of state and government of different countries has already arrived to the point, initial point, that the European Commission was mentioned in July last year in the document that they make already, the toolbox, which is that the gas market dynamics is the cause of the problem. It's not the electricity. Electricity is the solution. The gas market was the problem. I think we talk a lot about marginal system of electricity, but we are not talking much about the marginal system of the gas. And now we are already talking what is the TTF. I think for months we not already heard what is TTF and the difference between the different European markets, which is in the case of Spain in mid-gas, which is not linking with the TTF. I think the prices of the gas is in a certain context is linked to the oil price or the coal price or the electricity prices. Nothing to see with the TTF, but I think the marginal system of gas is based in Europe in TTF. Now we are, the head of state are talking about how to reform the gas market, which is the cause of the problem. So I think after these meetings, now is arriving to the solution is accelerating the electrification to avoid new crises. And this requires several things. One certain is to accelerating permits and to provide incentives to investment. If the way is, if it's not already modifying the process of obtaining the permit, and is instead of incentivating or penalizing the renewables, who is going to invest in Europe? Toward that, we have seen already in the United States what they're doing. The IRA, what they are already providing, is precisely certainty and incentives to invest already in the United States. I think in all sectors. So in renewable, they are extending the PTCs for 10 years. So they get visibility for 10 years in a way then we will know that whatever investment we will make during the next 10 years, we will obtain these 30% tax credits. They are already defined already incentives for hydrogen. Europe, we are talking about 10 million tons of hydrogen. But the incentive in Europe is almost none compared with Americans. In America, part of the PTCs, ITCs, for investment in green hydrogen, which means green electricity for making already green hydrogen, they are giving $3 per kilo of hydrogen produced, which is, I think that is making that attractive. Same with electrification. I providing certain helps for incentivating the electric transport. So I think that's my point. My point is, it's good that now all the European or most European countries are understood. Then the problem is the not properly working market of gas. So the marginality of the gas based in TTF is not reflecting the reality of the cost of gas worldwide. So that is something they are already in this moment looking for modifying. That's positive. The second thing, they are understanding the only way to avoid future problems like that one, or crisis like that one, is to accelerate the construction of more renewables and to diminish the external dependency. And that means to provide incentive for making that. And the last one is that if instead of making that one, they continue or they make they penalizing those we can already provide the solution, should be very difficult in Europe achieve the targets of decarbonization and the self-sufficiency, then the head of state are already in this moment targeting for the 2030.
Next question is, considering the spike in rates, do you plan to slow down CapEx in renewable? Probably this question will be answered in London on the 9th of November. And the second question regarding this thing is, do you think PPA's price will adjust to reflect to higher rates?
So I think we've been for a long time already predicating that the best way to have already a stable market is to increase and incentivate PPAs, bilateral agreements between vendors and buyers of electricity. So I think that is, for instance, what we have already in countries like the United States, with most of our electricity is sold already through PPAs. Europe, now we are seeing a current the increase in the demand of PPAs globally. So and these PPAs already are reflecting the new situation. I think we have higher costs. The CapEx is increasing toward it was. I think inflation is affecting it as well to the equipment and to the labor. So and the rate of interest. But I think it's, and that is already very much extended in the global corporation. There are one point important is that for making these PPAs, we need already more regulatory certainty. How we can sign some agreement 20 years for 20 years if we don't know what is going to happen in the next 15 days. So we need already the certainty to avoid and to increase this one, this dependency of a spot market to provide already these fixed prices. Certain the customer is every time are more and more appetite for fixed prices. So, but I insist on that one. We need more stability, clarity, and incentives to promote the PPAs in Europe as they are already doing in countries like the United States or Australia, which is the same thing as well.
Next question regarding renewables, onshore wind and solar. On one side, we have higher raw material cost, higher cost of debt, supply chain issues, and then there are indications that PPA prices are higher too. Overall, what does it mean for IRR or IRR to work spread on new onshore wind and solar projects?
So I think we are analyzing case by case. I think that is what you mentioned is true. So certain if the equipment is more expensive or the rate of interest is higher, so I think that is affecting to the cost. But I think we are linked case by case to see what is the return we are already achieving on that one. So the fact, I think we have access to different routes of market. And I think from participating in auctions to bilateral agreement through VPAs or already selling through our retail network. So, but I will update all those things in the next Capital Market Day. But it's certain that we are already very much prudent in the way of how we are already looking to the investment in case by case.
Next question. Could you walk us through the main reason on your lower capacity addition targets for renewables in the US for 2025? Any are returns going down there? I think that probably is some information given by Avangrid in its Capital Market Day. So we can answer now or we
so
can move to the
Q&A. I think you mentioned good, what is the question? Well, I think they will be answered on that one. I think globally I can tell you already the permits is a key limitation factor in all countries. So I think in this moment we have a few thousand megawatt already, as far as I remember, depending of approvals and in different states. Nevertheless, globally in the group, as I mentioned, I think we have already 14% more investment in these 9 months than the previous year, so which I think we continue already in this one. It's certain that we are already more focused in offshore technology, which is less megawatt, but much higher investment and high return as well. I will provide all these details in the, on the 9th of November on this one.
Question number 10: what are your gas contract reference to?
Our gas reference. Well, I think first thing I have to say that we are not exposure to Russian gas. I think is we had already secured our power plant suppliers through forward market. We are not already perceiving risk of delivery. I think is most of our business we continue selling gas to our customers in the liberalized market or to regulated tariff. I think those one are mostly related, as far as I know, so I know very much in detail, perhaps Ignacio you can already mention, is not much, it's not very important for us. I think to the mid gas in the case of Spain, I think is my feeling that is related to that one. I think you can provide this information. My message is we have not already a contract of gas take or pay contract. I think we are buying the gas case by case when we need already for our combined cycle of gas. In the case of retail, I think we have some agreements for that one, which is linked to the price we are selling. We are already having some margin on this one. I think is not already open position, but I think the position which are already hedged already with the contracts of to final customers on those ones.
This question probably will be answered as well in the Capital Markets Day, but I'm going to make it. How is higher cost of debt and WACC impacting farm down valuations?
What is the higher cost debt? You reply, Pepe.
I think that for the time being, it is true that the higher debt and cost of capital will probably reduce a little bit the farm down valuations. Also it is true that there is a lot of money available, capital that wants to deploy in the infra funds, and there is a lot of interest. We are seeing a lot of interest for the farm downs that we are analyzing, so we are still expecting good prices for these assets.
I think perhaps in this point I can give you, as Pepe mentioned, the example of the last transaction, which is already the minority stake sold in our wind farm in Germany, which is Wikinger, when we raise something like 100 million for the 40% of this one, which I think as is a minority one, we are not already making any capital gain in our account. It certainly has already a very, very good price comparison with investment, with the CapEx we have already used for that one. I think similar thing we are seeing on that one. Our investment is important to say, and our divestment is important to say that we are not contemplating already capital gains on that one. It's a way of sharing the risk and already finding, helping to fund already, especially these large projects.
Next question is regarding the U.K. situation. Is the macro environment of higher discount rates and weaker pound currency since the CFD was bid for the one, East Anglia ONE in May 2022 likely to change the business case and whether Iberdrola goes ahead with the project?
Well, certain we will go ahead. I think the first one is certain is there. In the case of East Anglia THREE, which was already awarded this year, I think most of the, or all the equipment has already bought and has already hedged on that one. I think the risk there is minimal. I think even we have already secured the financing. Perhaps, Pepe, you can already give details of that one. It's a project which is quite well, let's say, secure in all the, matters. Related to the future one, I think we have the East Anglia ONE North and TWO. What we are, we're awarding one other 1.4 GW. I think we will certain, if we go through the to the next auctions, certain we will apply the prices according with the cost at this time, what we can reflect on the reality of the market. I think for those, for this one, East Anglia THREE, I think all the project is hedged, in the moment we has already closed, including the financial structure. But Pepe, you would like to add anything on that one, please?
No, completely agree from a financing.
The rate of exchange included?
Yes, that is what I was going to say. We have most of all the supplies hedged at the FX, and the funding also is forward hedged.
This question has some personal comment of the analyst, but I'm going to do it. In response to irrational behavior by some European government, which in some cases can amount to expropriation, would Iberdrola consider tilting capex towards Brazil and the US, where returns are better and regulatory risk lower?
Well, I think that question is going to be replied on the Investor Day on the 9th. Do you see what is our mix of our investment, what we plan to invest more on this one? But certain uncertainty is not helping to the investment decision.
Next question is regarding to gas. Are Spanish gas customer moving to the regulated tariff? Financial impact on Iberdrola?
So we are, let's say, irrelevant in our gas business in Spain. I don't know how many customers we have already on the regulated tariff, but it's in the liberalized one. I think it's very, very few. So I think certainly we'll have someone, but we are trying to minimize those effects. In any case, I think it's going to be covered for one way or another one by the public funds on those ones. But I think it's not a relevant numbers we have in this business.
Okay, next question is, do you believe the Spanish government may introduce the 1.2% revenue tax? How can you legally fight it?
Well, I think that is already now in the parliament. We don't know what is going to happen, but we will see. If it finally is already applied, we will do as always we have already done to defend the interests of the shareholders. Certainly, we go to the court. I think that is goes against the European directives. The European directives is clearly stating that that is for a tax for extra profits, which is not the case in the case of Spain. I think he's talking about extra profit, he's not talking about revenues, and I think our lawyers will work very well, as always, for already defending the interest of shareholders, so, which is not new. But we see it's something which is not already in line with what is being addressed by the European Commission. Saying that, I think we feel that we have to try everybody to do our best, I think, and we are doing our best. I think we are already paying 7.8 billion taxes in the country at present, which more than half is already paying Spain. And my point is, with these 3.7 or 3.8 billion we pay in Spain, they are money for already helping a lot to those more vulnerable. So I think this one, an extra thing on that one, well, I think is I'm not seeing the reason why, because we are very well paying on this in this taxation in this particular moment.
Next question is, you are showing FFO debt ratio on 23.4% in your slides. Could you provide the information on a like-for-like definition to the one of S&P looks at? Are you comfortable with the 17% threshold that S&P looks at for your current credit rating?
Pepe?
Yeah, the equivalent that we have for S&P is 19.7%. There is this year a difference in the cash flow recognition, but let me point that S&P for the BBB plus, the range that it gives is 20 to 17%. Today we are at 19.7%, improving from 19.3% of last year, and we are in the top range of the range, so we are very, very comfortable with this ratio.
Last question regarding the gas sector or the gas industry in Spain. You seem to be discontinuing your gas supply activity in Spain. Is this view correct?
So I think all you know that we sold a few years ago all our take-or-pay contracts of gas. So I think we have not already, risk, as another colleague has already in collaterals or similar, because we have not this type of contracts. So gas for us is already, in the case of Spain, is minimum. And the gas, as I was mentioned, we are using our combined cycle of gas. We are already just buying when we need already for generating electricity. So, I think we are, as I insist on that one, we are focusing on electricity, we are focusing on renewable, we are focusing on networks. So that business is networks worldwide, And second is renewable, and the gas is already, in the case of Europe, is a very marginal activity.
Okay, now please let me now give the floor to Mr. Galán to conclude this event.
So thank you very much for taking part of this conference call. I would like to, as always, remind that our investor people, investor relations will be available to further information you may require. In any case, I think we will be again invite you for attending our Investor Day, Capital Market Day, on the 9th of November in London, and we can already share with you our projection for the next few years. So thank you very much, and see you soon in London. Thank you.